Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, New Hope Church. Whatever time you're watching this, it's up to you, not to me. Nice to be able to communicate with you via the magic of technology. Let me see here. I have my sheets wrong. They're in the wrong order. So, Chad, maybe next year we can put in the budget for a teleprompter. Keep those tithes and offerings coming. We'll get a teleprompter for next year. I'm prepared with my hand sanitizers. Hope you can see those real well. That is the Cleveland Browns hand sanitizer. Woo-hoo. Believe me, we need those in Cleveland. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple of things here. Keep your social distance while you're out there at home. Want to shake hands or bump elbows as a way of greeting each other. Just keep your social distance. I'm a Cleveland Browns fan, so we're used to keeping a social distance. Go to the stadium, we're 100 feet apart because there's very few people in the actual stadium. Right Now Media. If you're not familiar with Right Now Media, it's kind of like the Netflix of what, television or
videos?
Right Now Media. If you'd like to find out how it works for your family, for your focus group, for your kids, contact the office. We'll give you the information about Right Now Media. New Beginnings collections are still continuing. If you'd like to drop something off during this process that we're stuck at home, call the office, talk to Deb, let her know what time you're coming over. We'll make sure someone is there to pick up those items from you for Right Now Media. We have a lot of chocolate-covered Easter eggs made already. We'd like to be selling these, obviously. If you'd like to order some eggs, call the office, talk to Deb, let her know how many, what flavor, and I will be at the church evenings from 6 o'clock until about 9 o'clock in the evening, Monday through Friday this week. Come in, pick up your Easter eggs. Please try to bring the right amount of change when you come for your Easter eggs. The robocall list. If your phone number is not on our robocall list and you'd like to be added, let us know your number. Call the office. The robocall is kind of like when we're going to cancel a church service for whatever the reason, like for instance the pandemic. So we had to cancel services. We send out a robocall. If you want to get those robocalls, and these are the good kind of robocalls, not the ones you get from those telemarketers. Let us know. Call the office. We'll put you on the list. Really want to get that teleprompter for next year. Chairs. Leave the chairs as they are at the church building. Don't come over and stack them up. We're good to go here. Want to stack your chairs at home? We're fine with that. Feel free to stack your chairs at home. Just do it carefully. Now, come in close here and check out my bookcase compared to Pastor Chad's. Some pretty cool stuff here. Signature picture of Gary Collins, one of the all-time great wide receivers for the Cleveland Browns. All kind of stuff here. Just want to let you know that I have my collection too. I think that's it for now. We hope to see you very soon at 584 Colonial Club Drive at New Hope Church. Bye for
now. Hello, everybody. And first, let me say thank you, Bob, for that wonderful introduction. I was thinking along the lines of how sports is all canceled. We have no hockey. There's no NBA basketball. There's no college basketball or college sports at all, for that matter. And baseball preseason has been postponed indefinitely, so we may see an issue with that season. Maybe that season won't even start. Now they're even talking about, they're not even certain about the NFL, that possibly we may not even have NFL games next year, which isn't going to affect the Browns any because they don't play anyway. Anyway, I need Kevin behind me there to do the drum roll. So before we get into today's message, one of the things that I want to encourage is, first of all, email us at newhopeoffices@verizon.net, newhopeoffices@verizon.net, about any prayer requests or any prayer concerns that you may have, and we will be sure to share those either through email or through a video like this during this time. Now, we're not sure how long this is going to continue. It could just be just a week, and then we're back to normal, or it could be several weeks, as you've heard. So we're still trying to work through how we're going to work this out. So one of the things I'd like for you to do is, if you could also send to that email address, if you could also send some praises. Because one of the things I'd love to hear is what God is doing in this time, because everything around us right now is negative. There's so much fear, there's so much concern, and justifiably so with everything that's going on. We have press conferences from the government every single day explaining. explaining to us what's going on. Understanding that, I would like to hear something funny. Now, I know that Bob just attempted something, but, and he is, he's, let me decide, great guy, funny, okay, back to normal. But if you have something that you would like to share praiseworthy, definitely, I would love to hear the praises of what God is doing and the exciting things that's happening in your life during this time, even though it's a difficult time. But I'd love to hear some funny stuff too. Are there any funny stories out there? Because sometimes it is just good to laugh. And one of the things I've always appreciated about New Hope is that New Hope is a church that isn't afraid to laugh. And I am the same way. I love laughter. I love making jokes about any possible thing. I will beat a bad joke into the ground before it's done. I mean, this is just something that I've always appreciated is just trying to find humor in everything. So email us, newhopeoffices@verizon.net, and be sure to include requests, praises, and please, everybody, send me something funny. And you just might have yours shared in the next video if yours is a good, funny story. So today, we are still in the Bible reading challenges. We're going through 1 Peter, and I hope that you are continuing that. It's amazing how his word is opening up to me and opening up to all of us during this time. This week, we are moving into 1 Peter chapter 4. And I'm going to begin reading, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lusts, drunkenness, carousals, drinking, parties, and abominable idolatries. And in all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excess of dissipation, and they malign you. But they shall give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. First thing that we want to understand is that when he says therefore, of course, that refers back to chapter 3, and he's saying this is the basis for what I'm about ready to say. And he's focusing on the idea of suffering. The whole book is on the idea of suffering. And Peter's actually talking about the benefits of suffering. And he uses Jesus as an example. And the example that he uses is when he says that Christ has suffered in the flesh because of that. Since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. This, he's saying, since Christ has suffered in the flesh. It's as if he's reminding them, making sure they understand, don't forget that Christ did this. Don't forget that Christ suffered in the flesh. Since he did this, live like he did. Since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. The flesh has now died, and that's the concept that he's getting across, is that since Christ put to death everything on the cross, then you are to arm yourself with the same attitude and with the same mindset. So you think about, what does it mean to arm oneself? Well, it's the idea of protection. In the Greek text, it specifically referred to arming a ship or arming a chariot, something for protection. It's an intentional way of protecting oneself. It isn't an accidental way. It isn't a way of, well, I might do it, I may not, or it may come to pass. No, it's the idea of I am going to do this. I'm setting out to arm myself. It's like if you knew you were going to be attacked and you were going to be armed and you're a soldier, you're going to make sure you have everything in place to be able to protect yourself so that no one can get in. And so he's saying to make an intentional effort to arm yourself, to protect yourself, to arm yourself. with the same mindset. And what is that? And that is something that Peter has been getting across this entire time. And what he's been getting across the entire time is that whether we like it or not, or whether we get it or not, or whether we understand it or not, life is not about the flesh. In other words, life is not about the physical. You see, this is the difference that we are seeing here. This is the difference that we're understanding, that there's a difference between the physical and the spiritual. It's no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. No longer are living for what you desire or what you want, but you are living for God's desire and what God wants. When we think about that idea, there's a dilemma that happens in us, isn't there? If we go back to Romans chapter 7, in Romans chapter 7, Paul explains the battle that he's facing, the battle that he's going through, and the whole idea of what I want to do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, I do, and just that whole inner war that he's having of the things that I desire to be, I'm not, and vice versa, and no matter how hard I try, I can't get it. And how many of you have experienced that same thing? You set out, today's going to be a good day, I'm going to follow Christ, I'm going to do the right thing, and then somehow later on you fail, or you mess up, or you're not able to do what you desired to do. Well, the good news is Paul didn't stop there. In Romans 8, he gives us the conclusion, he gives us the answer to that dilemma of the inner war of I want to, but I can't, I want to, but I can't, I want to live right, but I can't. And then the answer is in Romans 8 when he says, thanks be to God that the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death, which means that it's the spiritual that took place. And it's the spiritual that conquered the physical, that Paul no longer was living his life for what he desired or what he wanted. Paul simply was living his life for the desire of God. And you can see that throughout his entire ministry, when he was shipwrecked, when he was stoned, when he was thrown in prison, all the things that happened to Paul, it was always about the desire of God instead of about his own personal desire and what he thought he needed. Man, this is so convicting, isn't it? Because how much of our life is so centered around the physical and around our desires, instead of the spiritual and around what God desires? You know, it's amazing how everything that we tend to, a lot of things that we focus on in life all come back to the physical. One thing that comes to my mind is the idea of complaining, which Peter goes against, James goes against. James talks about the tongue and how it's a restless evil. And I want you to think about the times in your life that you have complained, whatever it might be. And when I say complaining, I'm not talking about just offering a different option or a different perspective, but I'm talking about you're just simply not happy. And you're not happy because of this or because of that. And people get tired of talking to you because all they ever hear is somebody who's complaining. And what is that? When we complain, when we're not happy and we complain, and I've seen it at grocery stores. I experienced it when I was a grocery clerk. The complainers that come up and they come into my face and they get mad. And but that's all about the flesh, isn't it? Let me ask you, how often has your complaints about anything in life been about God's desire? Or is it about your desire? You see, we so naturally just fall into the trap of our human nature, which is, it's about me. And we have to put that to rest daily. As Paul says, I die daily. But remember, Peter is writing to people who have been facing persecution and who have been going through suffering. And he has been telling them, your focus is on what God wants and not what you want. And I think about what we're facing today. And as we're going through this whole situation and having to stay at home more than what we're used to, and life is going to be different. And there has been some that have said that this is going to change life for us in some ways, for us permanently, that things are not going to be the same as what we are used to. And I'm not going to say God is causing this, but I could definitely say that God could use a time like this to remind us what it means to follow Him, and to remind us what it means to focus on Him and to be the people that He desires, and to remind us that life is not about what I want or what I desire, and church isn't even about what I want or what I desire. It's about what God wants and what God desires. I've been having many discussions lately with other ministers and other believers, even Christian businessmen that I've been talking to, who all are echoing the same sentiment throughout, and that is, this is a time where we are going to be reminded about what it really means to serve Jesus and what church really is about. You see, because right now, in what we're facing, what we're going through, we don't have comfort things to complain about. And by comfort things, what I mean is, nobody's able to complain about it's too hot in the auditorium or it's too cold. No one's ever able to complain about I couldn't hear the music well, or the music was too loud, or and all the different things that we've built church around. But the basis of church has nothing to do with that, or my personal preference, or if I'm satisfied, or if I'm comfortable. The basis of church is, I am here, and I want to serve God, and I am only after His desire and not mine. Which is the answer that Peter is giving them. While they're going through this time of suffering, he's telling them, that this is a time for you to focus on the desire of God and not what you want. So I ask you today to take some time and to with God and His Word, and evaluate how you view everything in life, how you view what it means to be Christian, how you view what it means to be a follower of Jesus, how you view what it means to read your Bible, how you view worship, how you view church, and say, God, how much of this is what I want and what I desire and what my preference is, versus how much of it is truly what you want and what your preference is. And you know, the reason that I'm so passionate about this is because I have a personal testimony regarding this. Because years ago, 25 years ago or so, I was the biggest legalist you would ever imagine. I thought that I knew how every Christian should dress, and how they should attend the services, and how they should have the suit and the tie and everything that they... That's what made somebody a true believer, and carry your Bible to church so that everybody could see it, and what you don't do, and what you do, and what you don't do, and what you do, and man, I didn't break the rules. I knew what the rules of the church were, and I didn't do it. I didn't do the things that were in the list of rules, and I did the things we were told to do. And I didn't do the things we weren't supposed to do, and I was convinced that I was holy, and there I am, and I'm Mr. Holy, and I have this done now, and I'm there, and sorry you're not, but I'm Mr. Holy, and I have it, and I have it all together, and you don't, and I have it. But yet, do you know that through all that time that I was into that legalism, which I didn't even know was legalism at the time, but through all of that time that took place, I was still living in the flesh. And you say, well, how can you live in the flesh if that's what you're focused on? Because it was all about Chad. It was all about Chad and what he wanted and what he desired. And it wasn't until I started to focus on the scriptures truly and just put aside all of my preconceived ideas and say, God, what is it that you have for me? Was when he started to slowly just take away and just shatter all of those false beliefs that I built everything upon, which really weren't even scriptural to begin with. You know, you think about how often things have changed and how, and the change that we are facing now. And what we need to look at now together as believers, as followers of Jesus, is that this is the perfect, opportune time for us to get into His Word more than we ever have. And not just so we can say, I'm getting into His Word, but for us to get into His Word and to say, God, I'm open to whatever You have to say, and I'm willing to change whatever that may be. Take out what you don't want, put in what you do want. And then allow Him to do so. You see, when we're so motivated by the flesh, when we're controlled by the flesh, we are just so focused on just what we want and what we desire instead of what God desires. I remember when I was getting my wisdom teeth pulled. Yes, I know. You're wondering. You're saying, well, I guess you lost all your wisdom. That's what happened. But it was a long time ago, 20-some years ago. Had my wisdom teeth pulled, and the Cincinnati Bengals, which were my team at the time, and still are. I mean, I shouldn't say that at the time. I've just almost given up on them, but, you know. So they played a game against the Steelers the day before, because my surgery was on a Monday, and they played a game against the Steelers. And when they were prepping me for the surgery, I hadn't seen the surgeon yet. And I heard the assistants that were prepping me for the surgery start talking about the game. And they said they didn't want to face the surgeon when he walked in. And by listening, I was able to figure out that he's a Steelers fan and the aides were Bengals fans because the Steelers really killed the Bengals the day before. So he comes in, when he finally comes in, he starts laughing with them about the game, comes right over to me, and he says, I'm a Steelers fan, with a huge smile on his face. And I looked up with all the pomp and arrogance that I could even muster, and I said, oh yeah? Well, I'm a Bengals fan. And then he said, oh yeah? He said, I'm holding the knife. And I looked at him and smiled and said, I'm a Steelers fan. Why did I do that? Well, hey, I wanted to make it through the surgery okay, right? I was going to go under anesthesia soon. And, you know, think about that in terms of God, that what we want or what we're a fan of goes away. Why? Because God's holding the knife. Because God's the surgeon. Because God's the one who's in charge. And that's what it means to live according to what He desires instead of what we desire. Lord Jesus, I ask You today that You would show each of us what this means. And help us all, Lord, to be focused on You and to only live for what You desire and not what we desire. And we ask all these things in Your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.